encourage you to find the outline that's in your bulletin to follow along. I want to continue in Ephesians chapter 2. I didn't get finished last week, and I don't know if I'll be finished this week or not. The last part of the chapter, but I want us to think about it. Some things that I felt I wanted us to think about in this passage that I wanted us to look at and didn't feel like I had time for last week. You know, when the preachers preach, somebody told me that you only can listen as long as the seat can endure, so I don't want to overdo that. But I want to say I'm grateful for those who have given their lives for our country. We are a part of a long heritage that has been a part of our life and over the years. And I'm grateful for that. Freedom is a wonderful gift, but freedom is costly. It costs us, it costs people in our background, people in this country. For us who are free in Christ, it costs Him His life. So freedom is that which comes our way, but it comes at a price. And I want to recognize that. But when I think about out of that relationship to Jesus comes the building up of His people, of His body, of His church. I recognize when we talk about church, we think of a local group of believers as church, and then we recognize that there are believers all over the country and all over the world who belong to Christ too, who are part of that body. So let's think about this. I want to go back to Ephesians chapter 2, the last couple of verses in the chapter. And I need to back up and read verse 19 through 22 and then think about some aspects of this. So then, you who are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints under God's household. To me, that's a wonderful blessing. We're no longer strangers and aliens, but we're citizens with the saints and we belong to God's family. Thank you, Lord, we're part of His household. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Jesus is obviously the key. He's where we have to start. He's a connection to everything else God has is Jesus. That's why He's called a cornerstone. Some translations call it the chief cornerstone. He is the key. We have to be rightly related to Jesus if we're going to get any of the other things that the Bible talks about. Do you realize that when we read through the Bible and even the Gospels and then the epistles and other parts, all that's trying to tell us how to live for Jesus. I mean, He's still the key to that. So I want to think about joyfully participating with Jesus as He builds His church. Because this passage says that He is doing that. Now, is Jesus building His church or not? Is He going to finish it? Is He going to do it even when I don't think He's doing it? Is He going to do it without me if I don't cooperate? Yeah? So I want to be in on it. I want to participate in what He's doing because it's wonderful to belong to Him. So what I want to think about particularly as we build, as I mentioned last week, the foundation of the apostles and prophets on the Word of God and the Bible. He talked about Jesus, the cornerstone. Those are some key elements. But in 21, he talked about this whole building being fitted together, going to the holy temple in the Lord. To me, it is awesome to realize that as an individual, if I belong to Christ, God Almighty through Jesus and His Spirit lives inside us. I hope we recognize that is a sacred privilege to have Almighty God living inside a person who's been born again. I think we take it for granted sometimes, but it's really awesome. Then also to recognize that there's another sense in which as the body of Christ comes together, there's a sense in which He lives among us as a group of individuals. That He works among us as well as in us individually. So I want to think about that which He's fitting together. So if you have your outline out, I want you to write down on the first line, accept God's eternal plan and purpose. Accept God's eternal plan and purpose. Now, one thing about it is, in verse 21, it talks about the whole building being fitted together. The whole building, as I understand it, is all the people of God being put together for His glory. Let me read this passage from Hebrews 11. If you're familiar with Hebrews 11, the first part of the chapter talks about Abraham and a lot of other people who believed God, and God used them, and there's a whole lot of people named there who were saints. But then it comes in the end of that chapter, which is what I'm going to read, having talked about all those who gave their lives, who were put to death, who were cut in two, who were put in animal skins, all those kind of things, of those who had served God in the past. Here's what it said at the end of that chapter of Hebrews 11. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made complete. Now, he picked up on, he's talking about all those saints. If you're familiar with Hebrews 11, there's a whole lot of them listed. But he ends that chapter, this in this book, in Hebrews, is saying, apart from us, they would not be made perfect or complete, depending on translation. God provided something better for who? For us. Now, the us in that day was the early disciples and the early Christians. So he's saying that what God had been doing in all those saints, God was not finished with that until other people came in on what God was doing. And in this case, the writer of Hebrews, whoever, depend on your opinion as to who wrote Hebrews, God did it ultimately, okay? But he used human beings to do it. But he said there was a connection. That what had gone on was now going on, but it had to be completed in the people who followed. And I would suggest that we can add our life now. It's not complete without us in the kingdom. So what am I thinking about? He talks about we're being built together. God is about something a lot larger than us as an individual or us as a group of believers. God's building a kingdom that's going to last forever out of all the peoples that come to know Him. So what He is about, I need to recognize that His purpose is far greater than sometimes I recognize. But it's a privilege to know that He's including us in what He's doing, in what He's putting together. And so I celebrate today. He talks about this whole body, this whole building, which is a reference to the people of God, what He's doing, is that we're a part of God's eternal plan. I hope that makes you think more seriously about what you do for the Lord. Because we're not just serving for the moment. We're not just serving for today in this congregation or wherever God puts us. But God's tying us in to what He started and that He's going to finish. Think about it. God started something with Adam and Eve, did He not? They messed up. But has He been working with people since Adam and Eve? Now we think about it. God did Adam and Eve, and then along came some others, and then came Noah. You, by the way, you recognize we're descendants of Noah. Because all of them wiped out before Noah, after when Noah's day. But then there came Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and Solomon, and the prophets, Jeremiah. Then there came the disciples, Jesus, and Peter, James, and John, and all those. You see, God started something back with Adam and Eve that is going on and on and on and on and on and on, and He's letting us get in on it. But we're not the end. We're only part of the big picture which God is putting together. I want us to see this. We're talking about us being fitted together. We're going into a holy temple. And I think about this. How would you like to be a part of that? Realize that you and I are a part of the majestic, eternal kingdom of God that He's putting together out of all these people and ultimately going to bring together around His throne. We get to get in on it through faith in Christ. I hope that stirs your heart and challenges you to remember, hey, I'm about something wonderful. I'm about something big. I'm about something far more majestic than I realize, because God's putting me in from Adam and Eve through all those saints, through all the New Testament apostles and leaders, and all the Christians have come, like Billy Graham or whoever you want to name, and all of us. And one day He's going to put us all together in the kingdom, and we're going to be joined together in the full body of Christ. Can you visualize what that will be like when the Lord Jesus finalizes everything He started, what God started Adam and Eve, and He brings it all together in this final, grand, glorious gathering of all the people of God around the throne of God, together around the throne, honoring Jesus? You're going to be in on that if you're a child of God. That's awesome. So when you talk about us growing us together, what God's doing is getting all of us fitted together to fulfill that plan and that purpose that He has in mind. So I want to thank You, Lord, for doing that. I want to suggest two things. One, He's fitting us together for the eternal plan of God through putting us into local gatherings of God's people. I recognize every believer who belongs to Jesus is a part of the whole family of God. But it's kind of hard to serve and function in the big picture. We need to be connected with some believers in the communities where we live. We need their touch. We need their care. We need their prayers. We need their teaching. We need their instruction. We need their encouragement. And so God puts together, I believe, in communities, various groups of individuals where they're serving Jesus. Now, I don't think I need to remind you, but I'll mention it anyway. Is there more than one group serving Jesus in this community right now? Is there other people who are gathered this morning in the name of Jesus in Amador County who are trying to present Jesus? There are. And I thank God for those who are presenting Jesus in all places around our county. Is that true in our state, in our nation, and in the world? God's putting it all together. And I'm grateful for those who serve the Lord. But then what I thought of, I don't know it's in the Bible, just my thinking. Some of you do a puzzle, jigsaw puzzles. I don't do them because I get too impatient. Because if you take a 1,000-piece puzzle and try to put it together, it takes a while. But I've noticed that Karen, my wife, likes to do some. My daughters do. But when they're doing those jigsaw puzzles, they have a big picture that they have in mind. But I've noticed that they'll maybe make the border first. And then as they work it, there'll be something that kind of looks together, and they put those little pieces together, and maybe it's a tree or a house, and they kind of put that group together. And then they put another little group together over here, another group together over here on that puzzle. And after a while, they put those pieces all together, and you get the big picture. Here's what I'm thinking. God is taking us and making us as one part of all He's doing as this group of body. And He's going to take those other groups who belong to Jesus. And ultimately, He's going to put us all together in the family of God to make one big picture that He has in mind for us to be and do. We're a part of something bigger than us. So I'm going to accept the fact that we're a part of God's eternal plan and purpose, which is bigger than us. I hope that challenges you and us as our thinking. That sometimes we get too wrapped up on our little old world and we forget there's a big world that God wants us to share with, and a bigger community that God wants us to pray for. Second thing, accept God's eternal plan, His big picture. Oh, I didn't finish. I want to read this other verse of the passage on your notes. In Revelation, I want to read this. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lord, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Are you going to be a part of this group? Are you going to be among this group that He describes when people from every tongue and nation and nationality and all that gathers around the throne, and we're here around honoring Jesus, and we're going to be a part of that. I think that's hallelujah, folks. That Jesus Christ has saved me, and I belong to Him, and I'm a part of this, and I look forward to the day to be a part of this multitude which no one could count of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, and so on before the throne, honoring the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So what does that behoove us to do? To honor Him now. To praise Him now. To honor Him this day with our life as well as with our voice. it's marvelous. God's eternal plan. God's big picture. That He's fitting us into. I'll talk more about fitting in a little bit. Second thing, recognize the value of each member of Christ's church. Recognize the value of each member of Christ's church. He talked about us being fitted together or molded together or shaped together, depending on your translation. We're being put together. But in that process, I want to recognize the value of each member of Christ's church. The scripture that I've listed says, "But now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as He desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you." And if you read that whole passage in Scripture, there's a whole lot more in that. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and some others about our relationships. Here's what I want us to think about. Every member of the body of Christ is of equal value to all the other members. Sometimes we tend to think the preacher or the deacon or the Sunday school teacher is more valuable than, quote, ordinary members. What does it say in that passage I just read? Who placed the members in the body? God did. Does He know what He's doing? Does He value each one that He places in the body, in the local body and in the full body? Are they valuable to Him? I need to value them. To recognize that each one is valuable because God put them there. And we can't say to one another or somebody else, I don't need you. I don't know whether you ever feel that way or not, but sometimes we get irritated with one another. I know we do in our marriage. We shouldn't do that either. But do we ever see a Christian who does stuff and this kind of bugs us? You know, why in the world are they doing that for? That I need to trust the Lord to help us to value everyone that God saved. Because if they are saved, they are a child of God. They've been born of the Spirit. They're going to heaven and they belong to Jesus. All of them. So I'm saying I want to recognize when I see all the members of the body who belong to Jesus, that person, that person, that person is value. I had Chuck put this up here for a purpose. I want you to notice that when He puts us together, when you look at this, you see this side over here, this area. Well, these are pretty well what? They look the same. What about this over here? You see any difference in those? Which one of those do you think God's using? Is He trying to make us all look like this? Or is He trying to take us and make us all look like this? He wants us, the picture of the wall being built is what He's talking about. And every one of those stones of value in that whole structure. So I'm saying, God, help me to recognize the value of every one of the people God put here. Not only here, but in the whole kingdom. Because ultimately, are we all going to be together? Ultimately, are we going to gather around the throne and praise Jesus? We are. So why not do it now? Let me read the other passage and we'll think about this. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another, according to Christ Jesus, so that one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. accept one another like Jesus accepted us. Now, when Jesus saved us, how much change did he want us to make before he accepted us? What change had to take place in us before he would accept us and save us? None. He loved us like we were. He loved us too much to leave us there. But he saved us not because we made the kind of things he wanted, but because he loved us and died on the cross. He made us distinctly different. So what I want to remind us about is God saved us and we accept what he did for us. Aren't you glad he accepted you where you were, like you were? He didn't say you got to go to so many services and got to do so many good deeds and be kind to your neighbor and read your Bible a whole lot, pray a whole lot, and get all that stuff together. I'll save you. Or you got to look like a certain disciple. He just saved you. Here's what I'm thinking about. I want to remind us of. All these parts are going to be different. And I want to say, God, help us to receive, to accept each other as we are. Now, as I thought about this, the place that I need to start is with my wife. Because accepting people does not mean just tolerating people. Jesus didn't just tolerate us. Did he not fully accept us, receive us? And the passage says we are to receive one another or accept one another, depending on your translation, as Christ accepted us to the glory of God. So what I'm saying is God teach us to do what we need to do. Now what I'm talking about this morning is impossible except through the grace of God in Jesus. Humanly speaking, we won't do this. You need to know that. Only God can help us do this. So as I look around the body of Christ and I look around these fellow believers who are here today, and you see them, do you notice no two of you look alike, think alike, act alike? See, when I talk about accepting people, my problem sometimes is I want you to look like me. I want you to be uniform like these are uniform. Do we ever find ourselves thinking, well, I can accept you if you think like I think. If you love like I love. If you do Christian work like I do it. But most of the time, God is not doing that. He's doing these. And I need to celebrate the differences that God has put in each other's life. He distinctly keeps us different. And so when I'm talking about accepting one another, I'm not talking about just tolerating one another. I'm talking about celebrating the differences in each individual. As I said, that starts with Karen and I need to do this. Because sometimes, well, I won't go into detail. She's a wonderful woman. And I'm glad for her. God blessed me. It was almost 56 years with her. But I realize that to accept her means I celebrate her differences. I celebrate the way she does things, which is different than the way I do things. I celebrate who she is and the personality she is rather than wanting her to become the same personality that I am. I think as Christians, if we're not careful, and I've been guilty as a pastor sometimes thinking, well, I want you all to look uniform, just like me. Well, hallelujah, you don't look like me. He didn't make us to be that. So when he talked about putting us together, fitting us together, he's fitting us together around the Lord Jesus, not around each other. Per se, although he teaches us how to work together, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. But what I want to remind us of is, I recognize the value of each one, and I want to learn to accept you and receive you just like you are, with the way you think, the way you function, and to honor you as a child of God, a co-laborer in Jesus, and one of the fellow saints. That's what we need as the body of Christ. Okay? I'm not saying that's easy. Because as human beings, we do have certain things we want and certain standards we expect in certain ways, don't we? Now, if you're honest, all of us have that to some degree. And I need to learn to say, okay, you're a child of God. You're trying to serve him. I see you love him. Okay, so if you don't do it like I do, okay, you're one of these stones or you're one of those. You're putting us together because you brought us together, Lord, for your kingdom's purposes. So I want to learn the value of every part of the body of Christ in this congregation and outside this congregation as well, to celebrate that difference. Not just tolerate it, but actually celebrate the differences. Aren't we a better church because of the differences between the people who are here? We are. And sometimes people say things I don't like, I need to hear because I need to understand, maybe I need to change my thinking about something. You know, we got our set ways, we don't like anybody to upset our apple cart. But sometimes we need to hear from each other about what we're thinking. In the love of Christ, in the Spirit of Jesus. I'm not talking about being irritating or critical. That's not it. But I just want to learn to celebrate one another. So the second thing is I recognize the value of it. Is he's fitting. Notice it said, who's doing the fitting? God's doing the fitting. And we just cooperate. We learn to cooperate by doing these things. Eric Mombasa was invited to the Sydney Olympics. He was from a country that was the Olympic Committee invited some of the countries who didn't have very good athletes to participate. He was very inadequate as a swimmer. In fact, he'd only swam in a 20-meter pool. He'd only swam in a 50-meter pool one time, so he entered the 100-meter men's swim. Well, when he got there, two other swimmers were disqualified, and he was the only swimmer. And so they watched him. He began to swim so inadequate, never put his head under the water, always splashing around the water, really not swimming. And he went across, came back, got about 10 meters from the wall, and almost drowned, stopped. And they began to watch him. He was so inadequate. But as he finally got to the wall, or started to the wall, the whole crowd stood up and began to cheer him on. And he made it to the wall and held on to the edge. And here's what he said to them through a translator. He said, your cheering and your kisses kept me going. Folks, may we give cheering and kisses to keep each other going for the Lord Jesus, no matter how inadequate we are. So that's the second thing. Third thing on the other side of your notes. Submit to Jesus' continuing shaping. Talk about us, we are being fitted together. That means it is not finished yet. We are being fitted together. The Scripture says, in coming to Him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice what he talked about. He talked about stones, but he called them living stones. They said Jesus is a living stone. That is, he's not like a chunk of rock, but he's one who's alive and active. But notice what he also said, you as living stones. That is, we are being fitted into the body, but we're not solid rock. We're living. That is, we can be shaped. We can be changed. We can continue to be conformed. He says we're being built up in a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. God is about making us more like Jesus than ever before. Now, when He shapes us, some of the things He does to shape us is to chip off some rocks. When you put these rocks together like this, sometimes they don't fit. So what does a stonemason do? Does he ever take... He takes one of those rocks and he takes a hammer or chisel and cuts... He says, I want that to fit there, but it doesn't quite fit. So he begins to knock off some of the corners or some of the pieces. I don't know what you... Some of you were not here, but some of you were when Harry Williams built the wall that's around, covered the rocks around this building. I watched him do that. He'd pick up a stone and say, well, that don't fit. That's pretty good, but then. Now, does God ever do that to you? Does God ever say, that needs to come out of your life? That attitude, that action, that habit, that needs to be changed. Now, we can fight Him, or we can say, okay, God, do it. Because I really want to be what He wants me to be, don't you? I want to be the shape He wants me to be. And if He knows that point, that part of my life needs to come off, I say, okay, God, take it off. Deliver me from it. Change my heart. Change my attitude. Change my lifestyle. Whatever it is that needs to be changed. And so He's shaping us to fit in His kingdom. But not only does He shape us by chipping things off, but notice He called us what kind of stones? Living stones. So that means if they're living, they're not solid, they can be growing. They can be developing. As the case with real rocks, they don't grow very good. But as living stones, if God is working in us and He wants to fit us into what He's doing, He can grow us as we study, as we pray, as we worship, as we learn to love one another, as we learn to do the things He told us to do. Then He's fitting us together, shaping us together by causing us to grow. That's all we need to be with each other. That's all we need to be in worship. That's all we need to be in Bible study. I know some of you don't make it for Bible study on Sunday morning, but I challenge you to do that. You need to grow. You need to hear from one another. You need to be in the Word with other Christians. The ladies have got a new study coming next week. The guys, there's several places. Other Bible studies. Do you ever go to Bible study and go home and say, I didn't get nothing out of that? You could. But you suppose even then God's putting in your brain and your mind something He wants you to remember. Later He reminds you. You remember what so-and-so said or what was said in that class? I've been in Bible studies and somebody in the group brings up something and I said, I never thought about that before. God's showing me. He's growing me. He's adding insights and understanding. So I need to be in the Word. I need to be not only personally in the Word, but in the group words like Sunday school or other Bible study groups that are along the way. So He's shaping us. Now I want to ask you, how long is He going to keep shaping you? How long is He going to keep chipping away, adding to? How long is He going to do that? Until you die physically. So your whole lifetime that's going to be happening. But aren't you glad Jesus loves you enough to do that for you? That He doesn't leave you as an unusable stone. That He doesn't leave you out of touch with what He wants. That He chips away. Okay, Lord, let's take this out. And then He says, well, let's bring this in so I can grow. And He keeps on adding. Because as the passage I read earlier about us gathering around the throne, then I think it'll all be complete. Because in a way, even though I die physically, am I complete of what I'm going to be when I die in this body? I think as the passage says, when Jesus comes, we're going to look like Him and see Him as He is. So I don't think that's ever happened yet and won't happen until He comes. So we're still growing. We're going to be changed. So I'm saying, Lord, help me to submit to that shaping. Instead of fussing about it. Okay, Lord, do it. Change this. Take it out. Yes, Lord, let me grow here. And I submit and say, let's do it. Instead of saying, oh, I don't like what you're doing, Lord. You know, you put me through all this stuff, all these anxieties, all these hurts, all these difficulties. Lord, what do you got to do that for? Instead of saying, okay, Lord, thank you. You're shaping me. You're chipping away. You're taking things out of my life. Or as I read the Word, sometimes the Bible stands up and talks to it and says, you need to change. Okay, Lord, thank you. Aren't you glad He loves you enough to change you? Because the ultimate goal is what? To be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. And I'm not there yet, and I think the rest of us aren't either. So thank you, Lord, you're keeping on growing me and changing me. You're shaping me until we die. The next thing is be patient while Jesus is fitting us together. Be patient while Jesus is fitting us together. Talking about this fitting together, this whole body on the cornerstone of Jesus, being fitted together for the worship of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. Be patient. Now, what am I saying that for? There's a saying that some of you know and that Sarah Kids Club has on their shirts. Please be patient with me. God isn't finished with me yet. Now, I'll suggest two things about being patient. One, be patient how God's working in your own life. I wish that I got saved and bang, it was all done. I was perfect. It doesn't work that way, does it? He's still working on us. He could do that, yeah, but he doesn't. And so I'm saying, God, help me to be patient with myself while I'm learning and growing. Because sometimes the devil comes along and says, see, you messed up there. You might as well quit. Did he ever do that to you? Yeah, just quit. No, don't do that. Or you say, I'm not going as fast as I want to grow. But God knows how fast we need to grow. And so we trust him. We commit ourselves to him. And say, Lord, thank you. I'll be patient with you. Because you do know more than I do, God. You are smarter than I am. Your ways are better than mine. Secondly, be patient with the rest of the stones that God's putting together. Because he's still working on them. You know, sometimes the most difficult place that we have, or at least I'll say it for myself, I have patience. Lack of patience. When I've gotten somewhere and I've got it accomplished and look at somebody else, they haven't done as well as I do, it's tempted to be critical. Well, they're not there yet. Well, maybe there's some other parts of my life I'm not there yet either. I want to be patient while God is working. Does God know how to do it? Does he know when to do it? Yes, he does. As I yield to him, he's shaping us together. So I want to be patient. I want the attitude that's on your notes. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. You tell me how Jesus wants us to live in this scripture passage. Holy blood, put on compassion, humility, kindness, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another. Do you like that when they do it to you? Do you like it when people work with you and give you time to grow, patient with you? Now, patient doesn't mean I accept sin. I'm not talking about that, but just as we grow. Then why not give it to others? I need to be patient. And God's at work and pray for them. If I believe that one of you is not doing what you ought to do, what's my number one thing to do? I think it's get on my knees and say, God, this is my brother, this is my sister. It looks like they're not where they need to be. Would you touch their life? Would you change them? Would you bring them to where they need to be? And if the Lord leads you to talk about with them one-on-one, encouragement, you could do that as well. But it needs to be in the Spirit of the Lord, not in criticism. But because we love them, want them to grow. Talks about if we're spiritual to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest we be tempted. So this fitting together, I need to be patient. And he said, beyond all that, put on love, godly love for one another. Because we are going to be together forever. We really are, whether like it or not. We're going to spend eternity together. And he's fitting us together for that. So I want to learn to be patient. Now I said, God has to help you do this. Because you can't go around and say, well, I'm going to be patient. Well, our human nature is not very patient sometimes. And he said, Jesus, teach me to be patient. Now, I recognize when I pray to be patient, he probably put me through some places where I have to be patient. He doesn't give me patience just handing it through my head. Sometimes he puts me in a place where I've got to work with somebody else and allow God time to work with them. Sometimes he does it through our husband or wife. One of the best places to practice this is right in our own home, in our own relationships. Because if we can learn to do it there, we probably can learn to do it outside with other people. But we also can do it in the body of Christ, in the church, the local church, and all of it. So, be patient while Jesus is fitting us together. And he is fitting us together. He is going to do it. So why not cooperate with him instead of going kicking and screaming? He's going to do it. The last thing on your notes, be involved in growing Christ's church. Because he talked about this whole body being fitted together. It's growing into a holy temple in the Lord, a place where God is honored. We're being built together as a dwelling of God in the Spirit where God works. Be involved in growing his church. Let me read the scripture. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking a stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. The first part wasn't very good, what they were doing, but he said he wants them to remember
They were to hold fast to the head. Who's who? To Jesus. The whole body being supplied and held together with joints and ligaments is growing with a growth from God. Now those joints and ligaments are who? You. Each of us. Together, He's pulling us, the body together. But it grows. Now, two things about growing. One is, I need to be growing. I need to be learning. I pray that I'll learn until the day I quit living on this earth. That's why I go to men's Bible study on Saturday. That's why I do other studies. Because I want to grow. I want to learn something. I want to understand something better. But secondly, I believe He wants His church to grow. The people of God to grow. Does God want those people out there today who are out celebrating this day and they're not honoring Jesus on Memorial Day? Does He want any of those people to be in on His kingdom? Does He want any of those who probably don't even think about God today to ever come to know Him? So I want to be involved in saying, God, help me to understand those individuals need to be a part. Jesus died for them too, did He not? He died for all of them. May God quicken my heart and your heart that we start looking around. If this church is to grow and the body of Christ is to grow together, we celebrate by presenting Him as a good news to the people we can and praying, God, help us to be more alert to the opportunities to present Jesus. Now, when you present Jesus, are you responsible for the outcome? No. You tell them about the good news of Jesus and trust the Holy Spirit of God to do the convicting. You don't have to do that. But do I need to be doing that? Does God want more people to come to know Jesus and walk through this baptistry here in this place? Does God want to do that in other places in this county, in this world? Because Jesus died and Jesus delights when more people join His kingdom and cause His body to grow. Numerically, yes, but spiritually, both. Not one or the other. So I'm saying, God, help me and help us as a group of believers to refocus our mind, maybe more so than ever, in growing His church for His glory. Because He died for it. He gave His life for it. And He wants other people to get in on what He's up to. So if you're here today and don't know Jesus, you start by receiving Jesus. He's the cornerstone. He's the key. And you admit you don't know Him, that you're lost and unsaved, and you ask Jesus to save you, come and live in your soul, and He'll add you to His body. He promised that. He'll start you on the process. Now, how you grow and how often you grow and how much is up to us, how we yield to Him. But He's going to be working on us. So I want to be working on Him. So as you think about this today, is there any place in your life and in my life where I need to receive somebody? Am I being fitted together? Am I allowing God to shape me or am I fussing at Him? Am I accepting the other members of the body like God wants me to? Or am I secretly at least complaining about, oh, so-and-so, they don't do much. Or they don't do this. Am I really accepting each other? Ask the Lord to search our hearts. I don't know what God's saying to you. I just got to search for me. Because God talked to me about this very thing I'm talking about. What it means to receive Jesus as He is fully, and then to receive the other believers like they are, to celebrate who they are, not what I want them to be. Them to become what Jesus wants them to be. Because He made them different. There may be other decisions about your church life, about baptism, other things. Jesus is here. He's calling us to Himself. It's a good thing to follow Jesus. You'll like what He does. It's a good thing to follow Jesus. Lord, we just pray that You have Your way now. We thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the way You talk to us individually and the way You talk to us as a group of believers. And right now, in this moment of decision, help each of us to make a choice to do things Your way in our own personal life. And Lord, for those who may not know You, may this be the day when they choose to begin the life with Jesus, get in on the kingdom life, and begin walking with You. Lord, search us as an individual, as a group of believers. Change us where we need to be changed. Mold us where we need to be molded. Take away what needs to be taken away. Somehow, Lord, have Your way. We pray in Your name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing. I believe God speaks to us. I encourage you to share those decisions.